WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk. My name is indeed Kevin Tachi. And we have a great show lined up for you. Actually, my first guest is already here, and she is actually going to kind of help me go down the list of the fantastic folks who are going to be joining me this evening. We have State Representative Kathy Lenatra joining us.
Oh, great to be here, Kevin, as always.
How are you?
Looking forward to tonight's show.
I didn't realize you had such a love for media, like whether it's radio... Or even, we're going to talk a little bit about your cable show, Profiles.
Yes, Profiles, my new PAC TV show. It's Profiles with Kathy Lenatra. And each month we profile somebody, an unsung hero, or somebody that's really interesting that no one's heard of. And it's fascinating. We've been doing it through Zoom. Unfortunately, we haven't had people in the studio yet. But my next guest is Mr. Tony LaGreca, and he'll be in the studio. So that'll be my first in-studio show.
So we'll get to that and more. And so we also have Abington Selectman, Alex Bazanson, joined by a gentleman who is a local business owner. I think he's ran for office, he's held office in the same community, Roger Woods. And they're going to talk about a very cool story where that somebody had given them an update about an old Abington fire truck from like the mid-1940s. Had kind of given them saying, hey, I saw a old Abington fire truck you might be interested in. I guess somebody had purchase it. They're going to tell the whole story about not only purchasing it, but also bringing it down, then they're going to restore it.
They're going to restore it. Wow, that's fascinating.
And so who's our next guest after the 7 o'clock break?
After the 7 o'clock break, we have Fred Happel, who is the Weymouth Town Councilor.
Yep, he'll come in and we'll get a little bit of an update as to what's happening in the great community of Weymouth. It's also an election year, although I'm sure... And our newsroom can confirm or deny this. I don't think there's a preliminary, like the city of Brockton has a preliminary tomorrow. Weymouth does not. They just have their general election coming up in November.
Interesting. We have the mayor's race as well, and that is tomorrow, Boston mayor race.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to narrow it down. That's going to be exciting.
That's a big race. Five?
Anybody you're pulling for? Anybody in particular?
I really, no. I think they're all have a great story. Yep. I think they've all have been in the city, have lived in the city, some in public housing. They, it'll be interesting to see. I think they all have great goals. We will see.
So as you were stalling for me for a moment there, I did get a message, but I'm waiting for the messenger to spin around. Speaking of politics, we have Wynn Falwell, who is the council president in the city of Brockton for the Brockton City Council. He'll join us, and we'll get insight as to some of the key issues in that race. They will have a preliminary in the city of Brockton. Oh my God, seven wards, 28 precincts will all be voting as of 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Something to keep in mind.
28 precincts.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
I find it to be very interesting because this year is a little bit because of COVID. It'll be interesting to see what the real issues are going to be.
True. You know, they're so different than they were in years past. COVID has really exacerbated, you know, a lot of things, food insecurity, housing. There's so many things that were pre-pandemic we were looking into that were issues. And now just with the pandemic, it's just exacerbated. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say.
And also be interesting to see what you have to say in just a couple of moments after we check traffic. We're right now going to turn our traffic, our attention to what's happening out on the roadways, if there's any traffic issues. Being brought to you on this end by Brandon's Smoke Shop, online at brandonsmokeshop.com. There are several locations, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire. And to give us the final report is Lisa DeMilo. Hi, Lisa.
Well, hello there, Kevin. The expressway southbound is still inching along from the tunnel to Southampton Street. You hit the brakes from Bryan Ave to the split, northbound slow from the Braintree split to Morrissey Boulevard. Route 3 south delays from the expressway to Route 18. 93 north is busy from 95 to Ponkapog, and from Logan Express to the split. Route 24 south sluggish from 93 to the Horse Bridge. This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, get sustainable, wild-caught, fresh swordfish steaks for $14.99 a pound through September 14th. While supplies last, plus Prime members save an extra 10% off. See more in the Whole Foods Market app. Traffic on the 9s every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Opened in New Hampshire. It's going really good. Really good. But everybody and their mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends wants me to bring them tax-free tobacco to Massachusetts from New Hampshire. Me! Please. I'm going to have to apologize if you or anyone else, and there's a lot of you, like $1 billion worth, want tax-free tobacco. You're just going to have to make the really not too long of a ride to Brennan's Smoke Shop, and really happy that we're there, Hudson, tax-free New Hampshire, Route 3 North, exit 88 to 3A North, just over the lovely New Hampshire border. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we jump right into it as State Representative Kathy Lenatra, representing the 12th Plymouth District.
The 12th Plymouth, towns of Kingston, Plimpton, Halifax, Duxbury, Middleborough, and Plymouth.
And it's worth noting, it's still not too late to send her a birthday card. She just celebrated a birthday.
Virgos celebrate the whole month.
The whole month.
The whole month. It's my birthday month.
The whole month.
Whole month. Still accepting gifts, lunch dates, dinner dates, cards.
Did you do anything special for your birthday?
I spent the day with family and friends. Yes, it was a wonderful weekend. Just doing fun things, you know, little fun things. I golfed, which is always fun. So I did have a day of golf.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have a handicap? Or are you
have a handicap, yes.
What is it?
22.
Well, it's not bad. That's
not bad.
Good.
Just started a couple years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A lot better than me. They call me Slice. Stay away. Great to have you here. Great to have our local representation here on a regular basis. Unfortunately, you're not here with the rest of the band.
I'm not here with the band, no.
State Rep Allison Sullivan and Joan Moschino. But great to have you here and joining us. It kind of gives you an opportunity to kind of shine and discuss some of the things that you're specifically working on, things that you have in the loop. Talk to me about economic development. I believe that you actually serve on a committee.
I do. I'm on the Economic Development Committee. We have a hearing on Wednesday. Oh, I lied. We have it on Tuesday. And one of my bills will be heard, and that is a bill to legalize slot machines in veterans organizations for the members and their guests. And people say, well, why would we do that? Well, why we would do that is because the funds that they take from those slot machines, they use and they turn back into the community. A lot of them do scholarship funds. And they, you know, they've lost that revenue and they haven't been able to come up with the money to do their scholarships and other things for the community. So luckily, this bill was used as it was in an amendment in the sports wagering bill that the House passed. But the Senate has not taken it up yet. So we're going to hear that bill on Tuesday, tomorrow, and I will be speaking to that.
And what would this allow? I mean, where would veterans be able to utilize these machines? Strictly in certain buildings?
Strictly in, like, the Legion Hall, VFW. So veterans organizations, veterans buildings, yeah. Posts.
Good support for this? Any pushback? Any questions?
You know, I have not had any pushback on it. It's a refile. Last year, a lot of the bills came to an abrupt halt when COVID started. Unfortunately, we had to be COVID specific. So, no pushback. As I said, it was an amendment in the sports wagering bill. And if the Senate had taken it up, I wouldn't have to participate in the hearing again tomorrow. But they have not taken it up, so I'm going to participate.
What are some of the other discussions that are pending for the Economic Development Committee that you know that you have coming up down the road? Anything that you can think of?
We can think of. Well, we're still working, you know, to see if we can get the Senate to take up the sports wagering bill, which is really something we worked on last session.
And was passed by the House.
It was passed easily. By the House easily. Yes, easily. And not understanding why the Senate hasn't taken it up. I'm sure there's a reason. I just haven't heard it, what it is. But once I do, I will be sure to pass that along to you, Kevin.
Very nice. You also have a voter safety bill.
I do have a voter safety bill. I'm very passionate about that bill. I was brought up, my parents had a boat, so I was brought up on a boat. I had taken a voter safety class before I was allowed to pilot that boat. My children have all taken a voter safety class, and I don't think a lot of people realize that you do not need to know how to drive a boat to put a boat in the water and sail away, not sail. So this is for a power boat. So you could buy a 30-foot boat and trail it right down to the ocean, put it in, and just go without knowing anything. No, not like red, right, return, you know, all the little basics. So what this would do, it would require people to take the boaters a safety course before they actually went out in the water. And then, so my father would say to me, but I was in the Navy and I have had boats my entire life. Why would I have to take a boater safety course? Well, there is a grandfathered in, and you could take the test too without taking the course. If you're someone that has been boating for years and feel that you know all the safety, all the rules, you can take that test, which is free of charge.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I remember years ago when I had gone out on a boat with someone and they're like, oh, you want to drive the boat? And I'm like, yeah, okay. But then we came to a certain part where we're going inshore. I didn't realize that you had to really reduce your speed to, you know, 5 knots, you know, when you're coming into a certain areas. And
no wake areas.
Yeah.
Just even using a depth finder, just even knowing where the map are, where there's rocks. I mean, there's so many accidents this year. There were a tremendous amount of accidents, and boat sales during the pandemic shot up. They skyrocketed. It's actually hard to get a boat these days because they've skyrocketed the sales so much. So, you know, it's just safety for me. It's my family motto, safety first. But on the water, you know, there's no brakes to those boats like in a car. So, safety.
So where is it in the process? Is it something that's gone to committee yet?
It has a committee, has not had a hearing yet. It did have a hearing last session. Again, another bill that I was really feeling optimistic about and was put to an abrupt stop. So it will have a hearing soon, and I have lots of harbor masters that will testify to that hearing of things that they've seen and why they support it. So I've had a lot of support.
Okay. And again, if you are tuned in, we are speaking with the state representative, Kathy Lenatra, and we are chatting. It's her opportunity to kind of talk about some of the things that she's working on, some of the things that she has going on within her district, her community, anything of interest in regards to, here we are, Labor Day.
Here we are, Labor Day.
What are some of the things that you look forward to in your district or that you look forward to when it comes to in your district, you know, in visiting certain spots?
You know, my district, I call it cranberry country, and I really look forward to the cranberry harvest. Just the beautiful cranberry bogs. I was fortunate enough to participate in a wet harvest where I caught to put on the, I don't know what you would call that, that I put on, but stand in the water and rake the cranberries towards the corner. And that, I did that with Representative Norm Oral. And both of us were just really having the time of our lives in there. So I look forward to that. I look forward to just the fall, I think. You know, it feels like the fall to me is starting over. It's refreshing. So I look forward to that. We had some great remembrances over the weekend. September 11th, the towns I was fortunate enough to speak at, Kingston had a wonderful 20th anniversary remembrance. And then Plymouth with Dickie Quintal. I don't know if anyone's seen what he has set up there in North Plymouth, but it's amazing, and I suggest that everybody take a visit to that. Very somber events, but very well attended, which was nice to see.
Hard to believe it's been 20 years.
Very hard to believe.
But yeah. I think last week we were privileged, we had Christine James on, and we were kind of chatting with her about, you know, that very day, and she was very vivid in as to what had happened, where her and her husband were. Where were you that day? Do you remember what was life, what was happening in life for you at on that day?
That day, I had just put my oldest two, Zachary and Nicholas, on the bus, and I had the day off, believe it or not. And everybody says this, the sky was so blue, just as it was last Saturday. And went in to watch the Today Show, because that was my thing, make a cup of coffee and watch the Today Show. So watched it unfold on TV. I had my best friend, Sissy, who I call her Sissy, your real name's Chris, worked in the towers, and just immediately called her. And luckily that day she didn't go to work, so that was really fortunate. But after that call, no one was able to get in touch with her again. And a lot of people know that my husband was actually at Ground Zero. So he was a detective in the gang unit in New York City, and he was there on rescue mission. So he was there for a long time, long time. He was actually interviewed by Christine last week.
It all comes back to one point.
Yeah.
Between the two of you, when you talk about it, I mean, what are his memories of that day that he's talked to you about over and over?
So he's quiet. He did speak at the Kingston anniversary, and it was somber, and it was tough. It's tough for him. This time of year is really tough for him. Not only did he see horrific things, I don't want to tell his story, but no, he's told it before, but the horrific things, but he's lost so many of his friends, first responder friends, since that day, because of illness of 9/11. And he himself is in a study. So the rescue workers are in a study. And, you know, it's quite scary. Every 6 months he has to be tested for esophageal cancer and things of that nature that have developed from the rescue workers down there at 9/11. Yeah, it's sad.
It is sad. But it's a part of our history now.
It is a part of our history
forever,
that we should all know.
Absolutely. Let's, if we could move on to something a little bit more upbeat.
Okay, I'm up for it.
So I hear that you're going to be making a cameo on TV soon.
And not
the thing that we discussed earlier, because we'll get to that in a moment.
No, but this is about real TV.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, this is on HGTV. So there is a company in Plimpton, Massachusetts, and it's Full Circle Homes, and they renovate antique homes, and they were shooting a pilot for HGTV, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to be on it. So I was there when they first saw the home, and it really, I went in saying, why wouldn't you tear this down and build a new home? You know that I'm a realtor as well. So, and seriously, that's what I thought. I'm like, there's no way they can turn this house into something. I mean, they just rip it down and build something new, but they did. And it was amazing. So that was the first shoot. And then I went back after it was finished, like for the big reveal, just like on HGTV. It was very cool. Yeah, so that will be on September 28th. I'm looking forward to it.
How excited are you? I mean, to see, you know, because we view ourselves differently when, again, I teased it because you have your own show. When I watch myself for edits and stuff, I don't look at myself because I can't do that. But to kind of watch and see the whole process as it unfolds as you're part of it,
The process, I went in blind, so I've been on PAC TV or, you know, small shows like that, but I've never been with a huge production crew and
lighting
and the camera, believe it or not, is like a foot from your face.
Yeah.
And they follow you, and, oh, yeah, and you're talking to yourself, so you kind of feel a little crazy, but that's what they want you to do. To me, it was fascinating. The first day was freezing cold, and then the last shoot, it was a few months later, it was pouring rain. So we didn't have the best weather, but, I mean, I'm so excited for the reveal. It is beautiful. Their work is amazing. They've done a few homes now, several homes in the Plimpton area. This one was in Kingston, but they've done Plimpton, I don't know what other, Plymouth, I believe they've done some. But it'll be a great show. It'll be a great show. They're great people.
I'll have to take a look. I've never watched that particular show. I've watched this one where there are individuals who are looking for houses. They look at the different houses. And then ultimately they pick one and they decide to refurbish it. That's the show I watch.
I watch that too. House Hunters.
House Hunters.
I like House Hunters International.
Really? Why is that?
Yes. It's just to see a different country and, you know, an American move into a different country and the culture. It's one of those things I watch when I can't sleep. So it could be on and on and on.
I get forced to watch Friends when I can't sleep. It's one of those things. Oh, Billions. That's the new thing.
Oh, Billions.
What, did you watch last night?
It started up again?
Yeah. Where you been?
I did not know that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, my husband will be very excited. That's one of those couple shows that we watch. Excellent.
Yeah.
I like Billions.
Absolutely. They pick right up with Chuck Rhodes looks a little different, though.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait till you see.
I'll have to see.
I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
We got a few more minutes with you here.
What about Ray Donovan? Do you watch that?
No.
No. Oh, no. So it's about a Boston family.
Is it really?
It is. Sometime.
No. Again, and so many options. I mean, I have regular cable. But then I also have like some of the other platforming. I have Showtime. I've got Prime. I've got Netflix.
Oh, everybody must have Netflix.
Yeah.
There's so many Netflix shows that are great.
The thing that's, yeah, but I haven't really watched. I mean, I've done the Cobra Kai.
Oh, yep.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, off air, I'll give you a list.
I did watch the Tiger King.
Did everybody watch that during the pandemic?
Yes.
I believe they did. Yes.
Yes. So, but turning to regular TV, I didn't realize you're three episodes into Profiles.
I am. And I thoroughly enjoy it. So each month, it's 1 month, we highlight either one or two people. And I have a theme. So one theme was activism, women that were older and they were activists and what advice they had for the younger generation on becoming an activist and how to be more assertive. It was great. I had Pine Dubois.
What an awesome interview.
Awesome interview. There were laughs. There were tears. Yeah. There was yelling. It was great. It was great. And I've also had a show, a nice young woman who just wrote a book about women athletes. So she was a young athlete growing up and her trials and tribulations and what she wants to do, what she learned from that, and how she wants to help other young women that are athletes, which is, you know, is important to me because my daughter is a competitive athlete, so who is 15, and they'll meet. But, yeah, I had some great people.
So how do you go about picking your guests? How have you gone about doing that?
For me, it's easy because I meet people and I'm fascinated about their story. So I just jot it down like, oh, they'd be great for a show. I want to hear their story. So I have a list a mile long of people I hope to get to. You know,
like a bucket list?
Who would I have on my bucket list?
Yeah.
Kevin, you, of course.
Oh. Larry Nelson would be more. Right there. That's the guy who knows all the secrets. Larry and Christine.
I'd love to have Christine James.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great.
Yes.
I think she'd do that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think she would, too.
Yeah.
Yep. She'd be great.
Maybe we could just try to talk her into it right now while we're talking on the microphone.
Is she still here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would love that. No, it's really fun, and it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of things that happen and a lot of people that do great things that no one knows about, and I think they should.
Now, who's your producer? Who produces your show?
Donna.
Okay.
Love
Donna. Rodriguez.
Yeah, Donna Rodriguez.
Donna's awesome.
She is wonderful.
Who she is, PAC TV, mm-hmm. Julie Thompson.
Oh, I love Julie Thompson.
Yeah.
Love PAC TV.
Yeah.
It's like my home away from home, kind of like you.
And you did a lot of stuff during the pandemic with PAC TV as well, did you not?
So I did. I did a series of 6 shows on mental health.
Which was very good.
It was my guests. I had the best guests. I really did. And it got picked up by, I think, 12 other local cable channels. So that was nice. I think that's where the bug started. And then I was approached about doing this. So it's fun. It's fun.
Anything that we haven't touched upon while we have you here, but you want to share with the listeners of Monday Night Talk?
So much, Kevin. What can we talk about? What can I say for the last thing?
You got 2 minutes.
I have 2 minutes. Two minutes of listening to me for 2 minutes. Let's see. So, as always, we've had a lot of, I'll talk about my constituent issues. So there's been a lot of issues with unemployment lately. People that have been either cut off or they owe money, lots of different issues. They haven't been paid in 6 or 7 weeks. So I would like all the listeners to know that they should contact their local state representative. If it's not me, it's, you know, maybe somebody else, because we are able to help with those things. Anything with the RMV, sometimes we're able to help with. So there's been a lot of, I would say, over the past 18 months, constituent services are 90% of the job. Lots of calls. We've had a lot of food insecurity, housing issues. So if you're one of those people that have some of those issues, it would be best if you're not getting anywhere to reach out to your state representative, and they may be able to help you.
I want to thank you for always making it the most enjoyable time when we are together chatting and discussing the things that are not only going on up at the State House legislatively, but the things in the district and just with Kathy Lenatra in general.
Well, it's always fun to be here, Kevin. You know that. I do miss my bandmates, though.
Yeah.
Miss the law team here. But I think in early
November.
Okay.
We'll get the band back together.
I'm looking forward to getting back to the State House, to be honest, so we can see faces. We're still a little remote.
Have they given any kind of a date as to when you may return?
I did hear through the grapevine, hopefully October 1st, which would be nice. Ooh. Wouldn't that be nice? That's right around the corner.
It'd be fantastic.
Although traffic is ramping up, as we just heard in the traffic report. But I'm ready.
Okay. She is ready. She is Kathy Lenatra, serving the folks in the 12th Plymouth District. And again, don't forget to check her out on September 28th on HGTV's, was it Full Circle Homes?
Full Circle Homes.
That's the episode.
That's not the name. That's the name of the company.
But what's the name of the episode? Do we know the name of the episode?
We just said it, too.
We did. But HGTV at what time on the 28th?
8 p.m.
8 p.m. That's all you have to do. Trust me, the first 30 seconds, it'll show the name of the show. We thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you again for having me.
You got it. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The McGuigan's Pub 11th Annual 5K steps off at noon on Sunday, September 26th. This race is a U.S. ATF-certified 5K course, starting at McGuigan's Pub at 546 Washington Street in Whitman. The first 300 runners who sign up will receive a great race shirt, and awards will be given to 9 male and 9 female division winners. Following the race and awards ceremony, stick around for the Outdoor Irish Fest, featuring music by Jen Kirby, plus Maureen Haley's Irish Step Dancers and the Irish duo of Cohane and Keneally. There'll be plenty of food and drink, and the public is invited. Come to run and stay to party at the McGuigan's Pub 11th Annual 5K on Sunday, September 26th in Whitman Center.
Rock Legends, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. London's Royal Albert Hall is back from its pandemic hiatus, and Roger Daltrey recently returned to reminisce about the time The Who got in trouble with the storied music venue.
We find out that we've been banned from the Albert Hall. We said, why? What have we done? We vowed it.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups,
hey,
eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
We return for another interesting segment here on Monday Night Talk. They're all interesting topics and conversations. It's just a matter of what the topic is and who the conversation is with. Joining us once again, I think we've lost count how many times he's been on the radio program. He might be actually reaching co-host status because he's been on so much. We have Alex Bizantson, who has been on. He, of course, with the Hug Foundation. Also, we've talked about substance abuse. And also, he's an elected official in the town of Abington as a selectman. He actually, last week, came up to me and goes, "Hey, do you have any time on the radio program to talk about a unique event that has happened in town, a discovery, and events that are going to go towards enhancing or fixing this discovery?" Alex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Always great to be here.
And what's interesting is that Alex is not alone. He actually has with him a gentleman named Roger Woods, who is a former selectman, former housing authority member, and also has his own business, Old Town Real Estate. Roger, welcome to the radio program.
Thanks, Kevin.
Now, my understanding, Roger, is that you are the reason, you are kind of a key reason as to why we are having this discussion this evening.
I wouldn't say I'm a key reason, but I'm just a cog in the wheel is probably a better way to describe it.
I like that. Well, Alex, how did you come about? You and Roger, I take it, are good friends because both of you have done a lot of service to the town, serving on a lot of boards. So I'm sure the both of you have crossed paths over the years.
Yeah, Roger and I have been friends for about 30 years, I think, here in Abington. And he is one of the directors of the Hug Foundation. And we've been very close friends for years. And probably a month or so ago, he told me about this discovery up in Windham, New Hampshire. And we've been working on it since. And Roger went up there a couple of times and he actually purchased it. And I think we'll let him tell you what it is and what we're doing.
Yeah, so if we will, help us uncover this mystery, Roger. What exactly is it that you, it sounds like it's something that would be of great interest to the community. Am I accurate here?
You're accurate. Well, as a lot of people know, Abington's in the process now of putting a plan together to build a new fire station, which is long overdue and certainly needed in town. And along those lines, I was contacted by Jane Clockadile, who is in Abington, you know, born and bred. Her grandfather was a former chief on the fire department back in the 50s. Her cousin, her uncle, her father was a retired firefighter. Her father was a call man for 30 years and a dedicated water department employee for 30 somewhat years, Tom Maloney. So she had tracked down Abington's former fire engine number one, which was around the year of 1947. And she found it, and I don't know exactly how she found it, but she contacted me, and it was on the side of the road, on the side of a mechanic's garage, or actually Ernie's garage up in Windham, New Hampshire. And they had acquired it, and I took a ride up to take a look at it. And the long and short of it was we bought it and we've brought it back to Abington, and it sits right now in my parking lot at my real estate office, 538 Bedford Street in Abington, if anyone wanted to take a look. So we contacted a representative of Sultra Votech, and they have expressed an interest in having the kids restore the fire engine. And our long and short of it is we've acquired the engine, former engine one. We want to raise donations and have the engine restored and give it back to the town for maybe like a grand opening to the new fire station once it's built and the truck is back on its feet.
Did you like ask the folks at Ernie's garage, you know, what was, you purchased it. What was their thought behind it? And were they surprised that you had reached out to them about purchasing it?
Well, they were very surprised. Actually, Clockadile, she did the legwork. She's the key to this. I have to give her all the credit. All I was a little, like I said, I'm just a little cog in the middle. So I contacted Ernie. I contacted Ernie's, got their hours of operation and took a ride up and met with them and spoke to Ernie of Ernie's Garage. And it was his brother who actually acquired the fire engine. And he paid a lot more money than the $1,000 it took us to buy it. Unfortunately, his brother's not in good health. And when we explained what we were planning to do, which is exactly the plan, our only interest is to restore it and give it to the town, you know, give it back to the town. He was all for it. So they agreed to the price, and they made us promise to obviously send them up a picture once we're done and keep them in the loop as we go so they can enjoy the restoration of it as well. They were great, great group of people to work with.
Alex, you know, when you had told me about this story, and to give back a backstory to the listeners, the first thing I thought of was the city of Brockton, who actually had something similar happen. Am I correct?
Yeah, Brockton, I think it was last year or the year before, they found an engine that was actually used in the Strand Theater fire, where they lost several firefighters that night. And So they recently acquired that. I think that's a great thing for Brockton. This is a great thing for Abington. And hopefully the community will come together and help us raise the funds needed to restore this. Before we go any further, I'd like to give a shout out to Lynch's Towing, because they went to Windham, New Hampshire for us, and they picked up this fire engine and brought it back. Had to dig it out of the weeds and got it on the back of a flatbed and brought it back to Abington at no charge. So Lynch's Towing does some of the Abington police tows, and they're very, very good to the community. So thanks to David Lynch and his crew over there.
Yeah, it's interesting, again, just kind of going back to, and that's good that Lynch's was cool to, you know, kind enough to bring it down, and that they see the value in something like this. Roger, you mentioned Abington is looking to build a new fire station. That's the conversation right now. Interesting enough, and again, it's just a tale of two communities. Brockton's looking to build a public safety campus, which will house not only police, but I believe a new fire station. So it's kind of uncanny that these two communities have had something similar happen with, you know, an old apparatus and being able to reacquire it so it could be back home where it belongs.
I think it's great. You know, as we all get older, we kind of think back to the days when we were younger, and this obviously was a little before my time, but obviously just trying to, you try to do good things for the community, help people out. You know, it's been a terrible year and a half with COVID, as everybody knows. And, so we haven't been doing the other fundraising type things that we do, whether it be meat raffles for charities or things like that. So it was just, I just thought it was a great idea. There's such a group of people working hard to get the new fire station built. We've got a great fire department in town, great bunch of guys, and a history of a great bunch of guys. It's funny, one of the packages of information I received from Ernie's is they have a copy of the original proposal when the fire truck was ordered by, it's a Seagrave engine. And I have the original proposal signed by, at the time, Chief John Casey. He signed it in May of 1947, ordering the engine. And just to give a little, the engine cost $12,500 in 1947. And just a little history, Chief Casey was the chief, I believe, until around 1949, and Jane Clockadile's grandfather, Chief Whitman, was the fire chief from 51 to around 57. So it's funny how looking back and you do a little looking around and you find some history that all starts to connect. And of course, Chief Whitman's son and then grandson were also firefighters. They have about five generations in the Whitman family. of four or five generations that have served, you know, the town of Abington. And another small sidebar is Chief Casey that signed this in 1947. His son, John, also was the chief from 57 to around 1980. Well, obviously, I remember myself. I was born in 63. So, and I know his son was a great chief, great guy. He was very nice to us when we were kids. So some little connections around town. You know, I think it'd be something nice to do. And I hope people appreciate it and want to help out. Alex has got some information on how we're going to do the gift account.
So before you give any of that information, I just want to remind folks who they're listening to. Of course, we have Roger Woods and Alex Bazanson here, our guest, telling us a fantastic story of rediscovering a fire truck that was built for the town of Abington back in 1947. So they have acquired the vehicle. And Alex, I think you're going to kind of give us some information in regards to the gift account to be able to restore this apparatus.
Yeah, so I spoke with Scott Lambiese, our town manager, and all the funds raised will go directly to the town and through a gift account that's being set up. And the town can take donations, they can take cash, they can take check donations, just put fire truck restoration in the memo. We will have a PayPal account that will go directly to the town. That'll be set up. It might have been set up today. So that'll be published probably tomorrow. So all the monies that are raised will go through the town, and the town will actually be paying out of that gift account. And we're looking to do fundraisers, and our first event is going to be on September 25th at Lucy's Bar and Pizza Bar, which is the old Timber Lanes Bowling Alley. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing a comedy show with Dave Russo and friends. And I know you know Dave Russo, Kevin. Mm-hmm. He's well-known around this area. Great guy. Does a lot of charity work. And we're going to be doing a comedy night there. And they will present us some of the proceeds from that comedy night to the town for the fire truck. So we're going to be looking for raffle items, auction items, if anyone has anything out there. We're hoping to sell 100 to 150 tickets that night. There are links up on Facebook as of now for tickets. And you can reach out to Roger at Old Town Real Estate or myself or Lucy Pizza Bar, Webster Timber Lanes. Dave Russo has a link up. So we're really hoping this is a big kickoff event. We'll be donating a lot of raffle items and hope other people do with raffles and auction items. And hopefully it's the first event, and hopefully it'll be a big one. September 25th at Webster Timber Lane.
It is worth noting that Lucy's is actually Pizza Boy approved. Am I correct?
It is Pizza Boy approved. Great pizza, and they'll be serving food and lots of drinks, and it should be a really fun night.
And I mentioned that because I omitted another title from Alex, as he is also the host of a wildly popular show called The Pizza Boys. He and Tim Chapin, who is also an elected member to the Board of Selectmen, go out and they eat pizza.
They eat
pizza. It's literally a great job. But they go and they sample it and they talk with the ownership and stuff like that. So not to give the Pizza Boys a plug, but it's worth noting that Lucy's, where Dave Russo is going to be performing, which is also inside of Timber Lanes, is Pizza Boy approved. So I just want to make sure I threw that out there super quick. Could we touch upon, you know, you were talking about raising funds here. What are some of the things that are going to, you're talking about, you're going to have to overhaul the engine? How bad is the body itself and the undercarriage? Are we looking at, you're doing a total restoration where you may have to lift the body off and take a look at the frame? I mean, what's going on with this so we can have 100% restoration and raise the necessary funds, Roger?
I think the restoration is going to be extensive. The body is in pretty good shape, considering, but it's missing a lot of handles and chrome gadgets and things like that. And we want to try to get it back to as original as we can, you know, just so it respects what it was when it came to town in 1940. Actually, it came in 48 by the time it was built. So it's gonna take some significant funds. And one of the things I wanted to mention too, the town was good enough to allow us to have the gift account through the town. And this is not going to be any town funds involved in this. This is all going to be through donations and money that we raise doing fundraisers, you know, over the next year to get this done. So no public funds will be used for it. So we're confident. We do a lot of charity work in town, as does everybody now. Abington is just one of those towns that everybody gets steps up and helps, no matter what the cause. And so we're hoping to touch on, you know, everybody. And I think everyone would enjoy seeing this when they go to the grand opening of the new fire station, you know, a couple of years from now, or whenever it's a year and a half, whenever it's going to be ready, and have this sitting right out front to bring us back in time a little bit. And, you know, it kind of honors the progress the town has made in all these years. And like I said, it honors the fire department and all the firefighters, both past and present, I think, for their service to the town. So I'm really looking forward to being involved in this. So far it's been easy. Just go up and do a little negotiating and get a truck out of the weeds, and now the work begins.
And I think it bears mentioning once again that, you know, South Shore VOTEC, or the South Shore Technical High School, which Abington is one of eight member communities that are part of this trade school, having these kids having the hands-on experience of restoring a piece of history. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's and I think it's first of all, it's great that they've expressed an interest in doing it. We still have to have them come look at it and yep. Get into the logistics, but I think it's great for the kids to give them experience and something that they'll be able to say that they were part of. And obviously we're going to make sure we have a little sign that's attached to it to, you know, name the kids and, you know, that were involved in it and everybody that participates, so they get some recognition, because I think it's important. We really appreciate everybody all the time in any of the charity work in town, but we're looking forward to this one also.
Well, I want to thank both of you for telling this story. Again, just to remind folks, coming up on September 25th, I believe, is that a Saturday night?
It is a Saturday night, yes.
Saturday night, great time to go out and hang out. Timberlane's, Lucy's, and Dave Russo. You can't go wrong. This is the first of many fundraisers to restore this truck that was built for the town of Abington. Anything you want to say in closing, Alex?
Sure. If anyone out there listening in Radio Land wants to make a donation, they can make a check out to the town of Abington and just put in the memo that it is for the fire truck restoration fund. And again, I'm pretty sure they set up the PayPal account today, and we'll be publishing that probably by tomorrow. And buy tickets for September 25th. Come on out and see Dave.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you.
He does a lot.
Say that again.
I said, just come down and see Dave Russo and have a great time on September 25th.
And I want to thank both of you for joining me and sharing this story with our listening audience. We're going to step aside. That's going to do it for our number one of Monday Night Talk. On deck, we're expecting Fred Happel, a Weymouth counselor. We're going to talk with him about what's going on in the Weymouth in just a few moments. Right here, you're tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The McGuigan's Pub 11th Annual 5K steps off at noon on Sunday, September 26th. This race is a U.S. ATF certified 5K course, starting at McGuigan's Pub at 546 Washington Street in Whitman. The first 300 runners who sign up will receive a great race shirt, and awards will be given to 9 male and 9 female division winners. Following the race and award ceremony, stick around for the Outdoor Irish Fest featuring music by Jen Kirby, plus Maureen Haley's Irish step dancers and the Irish duo of Cohane and Keneally. There'll be plenty of food and drink, and the public is invited. Come to run and stay to potty at the McGuigan's Pub, 11th Annual 5K, on Sunday, September 26th in Whitman Center.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, back for hour number 2 of Monday Night Talk. Later this hour, we will speak with Brockton City Councilor, At-Large Councilor, Council President Wynn Farwell will be my guest, and we'll chat with him about some of the issues as tomorrow is that community, the city of Brockton, will be heading to the polls to cast their ballots for the preliminary, not the primary, the preliminary. Keep that. As someone who worked for Brockton Radio, one too many times I would hear people call it a primary. It just, that's not the case. So, but joining us here right now is none other than Fred Happel. It's been a while, actually, pre-pandemic. Yes. Conversation with, yep, Fred Happel.
It's probably been a couple of years since I've been in to see you.
Yep. At-large counselor in Weymouth.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Kev?
Last, when I actually physically saw you, I think we were at one of the first, the return of the Hug Foundation softball game.
Yep, Alex Bazanzin's softball game. I think it was in June, was it?
Yep. Yeah, oddly enough, and I think that was the guy who kind of was your lead-in.
Yes, Alex is a good guy. I like Alex.
Talk to me, life. How are things in the great community of Weymouth? Because I don't know whether to call it. I hear people all the time go town, city, and you put it in perfectly. You're like saying it's a...
Yeah, so they consider us a city with a town form of government.
Right.
They wanted to keep that town touch, but due to our population, we could no longer do the selectmen and the town meeting, so we had to go to a mayor form of government.
Fun.
Yeah, well, fun it works stuff. Good. It's a good, you know, with the council and the mayor, I think... Having that many people, it works better than trying to pile everybody into a town meeting.
So the pandemic strikes, it's what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
What was that like for your community?
You could say fear. Nobody knew what to expect. Everybody, you know, was afraid they were going to get it. If they got it, you know, what would the outcome be? How sick would they get? So I think a lot of fear. I don't see that as much in people right now as it was back at that time.
Yep.
But it changed, I think, the way we live. Zoom became a common word in households. I didn't even know what it was. And now, not as much now, but during the pandemic, everything we did was on Zoom. So definitely different type of life we're in right now. I think people are more cautious with, you know, sanitizing and keeping distance and that type of thing.
Yeah, see, when I think of Zoom, I think of a couple of different things. I think of the days of PBS.
Yes.
And Zoom. And, hi, I'm Dr. Joe Schrand, and I was Joey on Zoom.
I remember that show.
I remember the show as well, back in the day. And, Julia Child, we're going to cook something today. That's what when I think of Zoom, I think of PBS.
Right, yeah.
That's where it all comes from. And but yet it has become a fantastic video platform that has spawned others, and that's how we're able to kind of stay in touch with each other and meet and discuss things.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people even used it for holidays and gatherings where if they couldn't meet up with their family. I know we did it ourselves My wife Julie's family is from Ireland, and we would have Zooms with them across the pond, and you're able to keep in touch. You know, you can't fly over there anymore right now. Even still, I think you can come. They can't come here, but we can go there. Is the way it is. They still won't let Europeans travel over here, so it keeps people in touch. It's made the world a lot smaller.
What has it been like for governmental meetings? For you know, you're used to meeting in person. How long did it take for you for your council to get acclimated? And every once in a while, have Mayor Hedlund in.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, you could go and turn your computer on. If the 7:30 meeting, you could turn your computer on at 7:25, right? And it's over. You turn it off, and you're home. So we had our first meeting last Monday. It was the first time we've been back in person since COVID. And it's a lot different. I mean, obviously, you have the commute back and forth, but then you have the interaction between, you know, your colleagues, which you don't have that when you're at home. You're just going on the computer. You're in the Brady Bunch screen, and that's the extent of it. But, you know, you have the, you know, prior to the meeting, you'd probably have conversations about stuff after the meeting. So I'm happy to be back in person. I'd rather have it that way.
Would you say that the community persevered, that the town government, town/city/town government was able to prevail? You guys were able to meet on a regular basis and accomplish things?
Yes. And I think we survived. At the beginning, I was really afraid of where we were going economically with the, you know, with the budget and stuff. I think there were a lot of concerns that, you know, there could be a lot of cuts coming. Talking to our state rep Jamie Murphy and Senator O'Connor, you know, they had concerns too of what was going on up at the state house. But you know, with the money that came from the state and the federal government, we were able to get through. And now things, you know, they're kind of back to, I know we're going back into this Delta, but things have kind of got back to normal. You know, we had talked about, especially with the mayor, one of the concerns that I had was, you know, with all the restaurants closed, what about the lottery, the Keno? You know, we get a large sum of money. I think we get $9.5 million from the lottery. It's just a lump sum that we're able to use in our budget. If those numbers are down, what are we going to do? Like, is the state going to cut back on how much money they allot us? So I think the state bailed that out, and we're able to get through on that. But just, you know, the meals tax.
I was going to ask, is your community one that voted for it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so a portion of that's going to pay for all of the fields that we had done over. You know, we don't have any hotels, and we don't have a hotel motel tax. We have a couple small places, but nothing large coming in there. But that meals tax we rely on. So with the restaurants closed, but I will say, you know, the mayor and his chief of staff, Ted Langell, did a great job navigating us through that. And we were able to get through, and we're in pretty solid shape.
Yeah, you look at, I mean, things are well and thriving in Weymouth. You've had two new construction projects.
Yep.
Library.
We have a new Tufts Library, and actually the field behind it, Watson Park, that's been all done over. And we have a new Chapman Middle School that is ready to be open next September for the next incoming school year. And we've had numerous parks in the town have been done over. Libby Field across from Town Hall is a baseball field, and they actually just hosted the Junior Legion World Series back a few weeks ago, and Weymouth actually was the winner of that, which is a pretty great thing. We also have Pingree School, the level field next to that. They have numerous soccer tournaments. You drive by there any Saturday, there's people everywhere. They come from all over to play soccer there. And then we have the new Legion field that was done over. So we've had a lot of, under the mayor's, a lot of good stuff done.
How important are recreational projects like doing the fields, and whether it's for soccer or baseball or football, whatever?
I think, you know, the difference between probably when we were growing up and we would go out and play pickup sports, right? The kids really don't do that per se. Everybody's in organized sports. So having those fields where maybe we would play street hockey in front of the house, they go into a street hockey rink. We have down at Stella, we have two brand new street hockey rinks, and they actually have a street hockey league that there's about 800 kids involved in. So I think the way the kids look at things now compared to the way we were, I think it's very important to keep them, you know, active and give them something to do, you know.
Get them out of the house, away from the gaming console, social media.
Which is always a challenge.
That TikTok thing, all that
stuff.
You
do TikTok, right?
No. Foolishness. But Larry Nelson does. Larry Nelson is one heck of a TikToker. He really is.
All dancing.
Oh, yeah. No, he's more about... What about movement? Panning, tilting up and down. Look at my garden. Yeah, he's got it. Unfortunately, though, they don't let you do it they don't let you do it horizontally. It's a vertical video, which drives me absolutely nuts. But that's another story for another
time. I've watched it, but as for putting something together, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think it's an aptitude for younger folk.
Yes.
That's what makes them happy, and that's good if it keeps them out of trouble.
I still haven't figured out how to use Snapchat. Do you use Snapchat?
My significant other's youngest is a big. She'll Snapchat us at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's going out on a hike with her fiance.
My youngest son said he'd teach me, and I said I think I'm all set.
It's really not hard. It's a matter of just kind of picking what the video you're going to shoot and what clever saying you're going to put to it, and you get one or two chances to kind of see the video. Yeah. Not that hard. But again, you know, I mean, how many different platforms are we going to learn? I mean, I think everybody who could jump on Facebook has jumped on Facebook. It's more or less for the older population, though. You know?
Absolutely.
So things are going good as far as construction projects, roadways.
We've had a lot of paving being done, all around town, especially in North Weymouth, but a lot of the major roads have been done. We floated a bond, and he had money come in from the state, and he spent a lot of money this year on paving, millions.
Wow! Now, how long have you been in office?
So I'm completing my second term. So a term in Weymouth is 2 years. So I'll be coming up on 4 years.
What's it been like? I mean, you had to actually serve during this. Is your second one was mostly in a pandemic.
So, I love it because I love going out and meeting the people. I try to go to as many
events
as possible, and I think most people in Weymouth will say that they see me pretty much everywhere. I like to have a pulse of the town of what's going on. You hit the different neighborhoods, and people are able to give you a rundown of what's going on. That all changed during the pandemic, and I kind of turned my gears towards I did a lot of work towards the food pantry, you know, trying to help people in the neighborhood. I worked with the Norfolk County Labor Council. We did a couple food pantries. I worked with actually the Cottage Pub in Columbian Square. We did a fundraiser for the Weymouth Food Pantry. We actually had entertainers played Zoom through Facebook from Ireland, musicians, and we had I think we raised probably $5,000 or $6,000 for the food pantry through that. So, I mean, everybody had to try to find things to do to help the community. Obviously, people look at us as the leaders and, you know, for guidance. So I tried to do what I could to, you know, to help everybody. At least I could do.
As I teased, Brock will be having their preliminary tomorrow. That's not the case for
We are lucky
Weymouth.
Enough not to have one. So,
there's just enough candidates, right?
Yeah. A, the town saves, I think, about $25,000 on an election. And B, I don't have to worry about an election until November.
Okay. What's the dynamic now? How many at-large councilors are, for folks who don't know,
right,
who might be relatively new to the election process in Weymouth?
Yeah, so we have at-large, we have 5 seats, and then we have 6 district seats. So we have a total of 11 councilors. At-large, we have, there'll be 6 people on the ballot for 5 spots. And then for the district seats, we have 4, District 1, 2, 3, and 4 are unchallenged. The incumbents are running again. And then 5 and 6, the incumbents are not running. So we have open seats. And we have 2 people running for each seat.
Wow.
So I wouldn't call it a very busy election season. I thought there would be more candidates. I just looking forward to more candidates. I think I love the election season. The school committee has an open seat, and they have three people running for three seats, so they don't even really have an election.
Do you feel that there's a growing apathy when it comes to politics?
I think that social media has absolutely changed everything because...
How so? I want to get your take on it because...
I think that not for me personally, but I know for others, you know, it's open season, you know, and no matter what you do, somebody's always throwing a pot shot at you. You know, you think you're doing something that you think is good for the community and someone always finds something that, you know, is wrong with it, or it gives them a platform that other people can, you know, see what they're writing, and you know, it's tough, and people don't want to put their families through it, and it's sad.
I think it's interesting that it's a tool that can be fantastic when it comes to delivering information.
Yep.
Bar none. But it also could be for those who they may not, if you're face-to-face like you and I are right now, they won't say what they're thinking.
Right.
Right? But it's easy enough to be daring and say certain things, challenge somebody. You can even do it almost anonymously. I hate to say it, but you can.
Yeah.
You do it with multiple profiles. Yes. I've seen people who've actually, you know, they'll be controlling five different profiles that'll attack one person.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and the individual thinks they're being overwhelmed by multiple people when it's just...
Right.
You know, it's very interesting.
I've been lucky. I can honestly, I mean, obviously everybody gets messages from people, and but overall I haven't had to deal with a lot of that. And I have to say my wife and my kids are very supportive, and if they weren't, there's no way I would be able to do this. So for that I'm lucky too. It's a full commitment. I mean, I can't tell you how many vacations you go on or whatever, and everything's constituent calls, and you know, you're trying to make time. Hey, just give me 5 minutes, because you don't want to let people down. You're in a role, and no matter how small the problem is for those people, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, and you try to help them out. That's what we're here for. You know.
And what's interesting with you, it's not like you are just a district or a ward counselor. You're someone who serves the whole community of Weymouth. So. It doesn't matter what side of town you're on.
Right.
You're there to help them if they call you.
And
you're
going to
engage.
And the town has so many different dynamics and demographics. And, you know, you go to North Weymouth. I was at a cookout someone had for me, and it was about seawalls and parking at the beach, you know. And then you go over to South Weymouth, and it's about Columbian Square traffic, or it's about parking here. You know, You go to just a cookout on a Saturday night, and the topic of conversation is once they, you know, they'll know who you are, but everybody wants to give you their, you know, this one's parking in front of my house, this one's speed, and this is that. And people say, how do you do it? I don't know. You just try to listen to their concerns. If you can help them, it's an easy fix. You know, I was out all day Saturday. I went to, I think, 5 events, and I probably had each event, I had something written down that was a concern. And I got 3 of them taken care of this morning. I got 2 more to take care of. And you just do what you can do and hope that people don't get upset with you if you can't come through with what they're asking.
But people do realize that you're one of 11.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, I think that if you're around and you're active and people know who you are, then they're going to ask you for help. So it just comes with the job.
What do you see are some of the conversations that are going to be had leading up to November, but that you're going to be dealing with as a government body in 2022 and 2023?
Well, I'm hoping that the economy continues down the right path, because as long as the economy goes well, that makes our job easier, so we don't have to worry about cuts. Because once you get into that, that's a whole different ballgame, and people get very upset. They're losing their jobs. You know, there's cuts to the teachers or the schools or the fire department. And so that would be my number one concern, is that the economy continues down the road. I mean, we've had a pretty good run. Hopefully it stays going in that right direction.
Sure.
I can honestly say that the mayor has taken care of so many issues. One of the issues that I was concerned with coming in was with the fire department. We have a fire station that's been closed for, I think it's 13 years now. That's supposed to be open in October. I mean, we talk about the fields. I always tell the mayor that when I was a kid, I played Legion baseball for Weymouth, and we gave up all of our home games to play our home games in Quincy at Adams Field because the fields in Weymouth were so bad. Now the field that the Legion team plays at, people are coming from all over to play at. So it's just a great draw. I mean, the parks in itself, it's something for us to be very proud of. And now we have a state-of-the-art library. You know, we're going to have a brand-new school. You know, there's just good stuff going on.
You know, before you and I came on these live microphones, one of the things you had mentioned was being one of the first interns of now Mayor Bob Hedlund.
I was the first intern.
What's, looking back in retrospect and looking today, did you see Mayor Hedlund being Mayor Hedlund, or did you see him as being him climbing the ladder to maybe being a governor or something greater? Because Bob, there's one thing that I think both you and I agree on is he's someone who, he understands politics, he understands legislation, regardless of what level it's on.
I think one of the best attributes that Mayor Hedlund has is that he has a pulse of what's going on in the community, and he knows kind of what people are thinking. He knows what's a hot topic, maybe not to touch. He's very good navigating through that way. I don't even remember how old I was, 19 or whatever it was when I started with him. It was when he first got in. He got sworn in January, and I think I came in like 2 weeks later. I was a student at UMass Boston. And you got to remember, Bob was very young. I mean, I think he was 28 or 29 when he came in. And during that time, Governor Weld had just come in, and there was 16 Republican senators at that time.
Good times, yeah, for GOP.
They could override a veto, yep. And I should say sustain a veto because they had a Republican governor. So it was a whole different time. I think there's three now. You know, so I never thought, you know, was he going to be a guy? I thought he would take a shot at Congress, and I know that he talked about it. He had called me about it one night back when I think it was Delahunt was stepping down. He was thinking about running. You know, I think he did a lot of years in the Senate, and I think it was time for a change, and he thought he could do some good for the town, and, you know, he's done a good job. So I was his first intern, and then when he ran for mayor, I was his campaign manager. So it's been quite a run.
Okay, we're speaking with Fred Happel. He is a Weymouth city councilor, town councilor.
Town councilor, yes.
Town councilor. And he's our guest as we just have a couple more moments left here. We haven't touched upon the Air Force Base, the Union Point, whatever you want to call it these days, as it goes through the revolving door of master developers.
Yeah, so they appointed a new master developer, and as far as I know, they're still in negotiations with the bank that owns the property. I just got an email today that the SRA... redevelopment board will be in front of the council next Monday night, so we'll be getting an update of what's going on over there. I mean, obviously there's been issues all along with water and sewerage, and you know, how much is going to be developed for housing and how much is going to be developed for businesses, and there's no business there. And like I was saying to you earlier, one of the things that I just don't understand is why there isn't even a store there. You have the commuter rail, and you have all those people that live there, and I never could understand why there wouldn't be a store that has, you know, milk, bread.
Convenience store?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, even sell coffee. And so I'm not sure why, but maybe we'll find that out Monday night.
Anything we haven't touched upon when it comes to updates from the great community of Weymouth?
I think we've done pretty well. I'm just looking forward to hopefully being reelected and serving for another 2 years. It is absolutely an honor and something that I really enjoy doing. I grew up in Weymouth. I'm raising my kids in Weymouth, and I love Weymouth.
folks want to follow your campaign, they want to get involved, or just reach out and say hi to you?
Yeah, I have a website, happelatlarge.com. I'm on Facebook. I have my own account, Fred Happel. I also have Fred Happel, Counselor at Large. I'm on Twitter, at Happel at Large, and I'm on Instagram, F Happel. So I'm all over the place.
Only when we can
get Snapchat.
Only we can get you the Snapchat. Use a few of the filters. You can do the bunny rabbit one.
There you go.
You know, the goofy teddy bear or the stretched face. Fred Happel has been our guest. I want to thank you again for joining
us. Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Kevin. I appreciate you thinking of me and inviting me on your show.
Absolutely. We are going to step aside, and I sigh because it's the last discussion of the evening. We have Win Falwell be joining us in just a few moments. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk right here at 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck! Snap back or rock! Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Rock Legends, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. London's Royal Albert Hall is back from its pandemic hiatus, and Roger Daltrey recently returned to reminisce about the time The Who got in trouble with the storied music venue.
We find out that we've been banned from the Albert Hall. We said, why? What have we done? We're rowdy.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up, there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We have arrived at the final segment of this week's Monday Night Talk. And, you know, I feel every segment is special unto its own, but usually the last one, you know, it's special in its own right, because not only because it's the last segment, but it's almost like my analogy is like it's a meal, right? First couple of segments we do in the first hour, it's, you know, it's appetizers. And then when we get to hour number two, 7 o'clock, it's the entree. And if you're following along with me, we're at the dessert portion of our program. Joining us right now is a gentleman who has joined us many times in the past, and I foresee him joining us for many more in the future. He is at-large counselor, council president in the city of Brockton, Win Falwell. We welcome you back, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think your introductions to the different segments are getting more poignant. So I guess this means that you're the manager and I've been called in as the closer from the bullpen, and I better throw some strikes and don't hit too many balls in front of the plate. Is that throw too many balls in front of the plate? Is that it?
That might be a better analogy than what I tried to illustrate just a few moments ago. That might be better. Yes, please don't bounce the ball in front of the home plate.
Okay. Well, you and I will do our best as we've done many times. And it is always a pleasure to join you on a Monday night.
Well, I like the idea of us being able to, you know, I feel I have the privilege where I know the different elected officials, the folks who take a lot of pride in what they do as elected officials. When it comes to the city of Brockton, you know, my hometown, I mean, no longer reside there, but I'm somebody I closely follow what goes on there, whether it's as a reporter, or as a journalist or a talk show host. And so, you know, we had the mayor on, the Mayor Sullivan on a few weeks ago. Thought it was time for a little bit of an update. How are things in the City of Champions when we're sitting here at this moment talking about the pandemic that we have all endured since March of 2020?
Well, I have to say, we are in a place that I had hoped we'd be, but I wasn't sure as the months went by. We are continuing with vaccinations. We have over half the population, I believe, has had two shots. And I may be wrong, but I think we're up in the 70% of the population has had at least one. That is so important because obviously we have the Delta variant to worry about. We never want to go back to where we have to close down schools, hurt businesses, affect the economy, force people to stay home, and literally threaten the existence of businesses to see if they can financially survive. So I'm really encouraged by where we are, and I know it will get better. The mayor and the council, I think, are unified on the issue of doing the most we can to do outreach and get people vaccinated and continuing that emphasis. We are still proceeding with a $98 million plan for a public safety complex, which would house four city departments, police, fire, information technology, and Brockton Emergency Management. And we have biweekly meetings on the progress of that. The funding has been approved by the council. It's just a question now of complying with all of the procurement laws and other things that need to be done, design, constantly evaluating the space allocations to the different departments. So that's very encouraging. And then, Kevin, for the listeners who don't understand the significance of this, it's not just a building. It's going to bring those particular departments into the 21st century and at a location where it will have a very beneficial effect on downtown Brockton, because now the police station is on the east side of Main Street under the railroad tracks. This will place the new facility on the west side, and I think it will bring about a whole new sense of safety and security and having police officers and cruisers coming and going. I think that will help business downtown. And we have new housing projects coming in. So, you know, we've got a pretty, we're on a trajectory for great success.
And are we still saying that the parcel of land or the parcels of land, are those the ones that currently occupy the Keith School, the former Brockton High School, or is it elsewhere?
I would say the goal is to locate there with the caveat that we will do nothing to disrupt the Keith Center and the programs and services that are offered to children there. If we can find a better location, an enhanced facility that will give programs and services to those young men and women, then yes, we would move them to that new location, and then we would proceed with the old high school site. And I know the mayor and others, the superintendent of schools, Dr. Jim Cobbs at the school department, the principal of the Keith Center, they're all working collectively to look for a location where we can provide an enhanced learning environment for those people.
So what size footprint would you need, would the city need to house such a campus?
Well, for the public safety campus, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're talking about 70,000, maybe even close to 80,000 square feet, up, you know, obviously three floors up, but it is significant, and it will change the traffic pattern on Warren Avenue, particularly between Spring Street and Belmont Street. So you, instead of having one-way traffic, you would probably have two-way traffic with a widened street, with signalization improvements, with improvements at the top of Legion Parkway, which again probably does not mean much to your listeners, but that is an area where if you can improve the traffic flow, again, you'll enhance economic development, enhance pedestrian and traffic safety. So yeah, there are a lot of ancillary issues that will be encompassed within just the public safety complex.
How is the downtown corridor evolving these days? I know that there have been many projects that have been ongoing for the past couple of years. for the reformation and redevelopment of the city center?
Well, the employment and training office that the state is constructing, that is coming along very well. That's at the intersection of Belmont and Main Street. Up a little further, you have the Naval Works project, which is housing, but also on the bottom floor, you're going to have Brockton Beer Works, where you will have a pub-type atmosphere, and people can go in and relax and participate in having lunch, dinner, however they configure their operation. Also in the downtown area on Montello Street, just below the police station, we've approved tax increment exemptions for a new housing project. It'll be market rate housing by Joffrey Anatole, who has done great work on West Elm Street already. He's going to put up a new, very modern complex, which has received approvals at every step of the way. So I would say in the next 2 years, the issue of construction in the downtown area of Brockton, people may not recognize the old downtown area. They're just going to see a certain level of activity that wasn't anticipated.
You just tuned into our segment that we're speaking with at-large counselor. He's also the council president, Wynn Falwell, as we're talking, getting an update as to what's happening in the City of Champions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was something that was voted on and that's going to probably be in the works in regards to Main Street. Is there a project in the works to convert a part, if not all of Main Street, to two-way?
There is. There has been a study done which identified what would have to be done to return Main Street to two-way traffic. It was until the 1970s, and then it went to one-way. Obviously, that is a very significant project, not only in terms of above ground, but below ground. If you were going to do that, you would probably want to evaluate all of the underground infrastructure, water mains, sewer mains, and address those, and then proceed to do the above ground intersection and roadway improvements. And I think when I last looked at this, because I tend to pay a lot of attention to the financial implications, I think the total project, including below ground infrastructure, was around $35 million. So that would be a very significant project and would have to be carefully coordinated, obviously, with local businesses, because you wouldn't want to completely shut down Main Street and threaten the existence of businesses that are currently operating there.
So where does this stand? I mean, it sounds like it's beyond the planning stage. Is it just a matter of appropriating the funding to make a move forward, or appropriating the monies to continue the studies in regards to the underground works?
I think it's still on the drawing board. And I think that, and quite frankly, as it should, the public safety complex has kind of advanced itself to a level above returning Main Street to two-way traffic, because you wouldn't want to have both projects ongoing at the same time. I think that could be disastrous to the flow of traffic and pedestrian safety. So I think the issue of two-way traffic in downtown Brockton should remain a priority, but it should be placed on the list where appropriate after we look at some of these other projects that are ongoing.
I'm putting this question before, maybe a little too early, but, you know, once it's decided where the public safety campus is going to be and construction begins, have there been any preliminary discussions as to what will become of the former police station? Will that be maybe a substation, or will that be converted into some other resource for the city to use?
I suspect that would be converted into rehabbed so that another purpose could be housed there. You know, some of us wonder if it might be a nice city hall annex where people could drive up and pay their tax bills, obtain a building permit, go to the health department, get a health permit, do the type of activities that unfortunately now we're at city hall where parking is pretty difficult. You could turn it into a commercial property if someone was interested in taking a look at, could a business locate there, professional offices, could it be housing, and then some commercial on the bottom floor. I mean, I think when we get to that point where we will be moving out of that facility into a new one, then there should be a very careful study as to what the city's options, best options should be.
So our conversation is kind of twofold, kind of an update as to what's happening with the city, but I also want to kind of delve into what we have before us as we are on the eve of the city's preliminary elections. I don't know if there's any other pressing issues or anything that's ongoing before we delve into that, that you want to take a moment to talk about, or if you want to kind of talk about, you know, the upcoming election and the importance of it.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about the fact that we are reconstructing quite a few streets. I got an email from some people who live over in the Blueberry Circle, Dudley Avenue area. Councilor Nicastro and I have pushed getting that area done because they literally had, because of groundwater, they had rocks pushing up through the asphalt, and you could literally trip if you were walking down the street. So that's happening throughout the city. We are doing improvements to water mains in the city. The DPW has been very active. So slowly, because increased revenue, we're being able to address things that, frankly, were neglected for quite a few years. So it's a pretty positive environment in which we find ourselves.
Talk to me about being an elected official. And when it comes to this time of year, it comes very frequently for the city of Brockton, for the municipality, where it's every 2 years. Here we are for the municipality. You have multiple races. You have the at-large race. You have the ward races. You have the race for mayor, and you have school committee. Talk to me about how this year is any different or maybe the same as past times that you find yourself here on the cusp of one of the elections, this one happening to be the preliminary election, where it narrows down the ballot for the general election in November.
Well, you always have your usual races in the different wards. This year is different because the Ward 1 counselor resigned, and he's now the assistant clerk. The Ward 2 counselor has decided not to seek re-election. The Ward 3 counselor has decided not to seek re-election. So you automatically have three open seats where you don't have an incumbent running. The counselor at large race, I mean, we always, those of us who run at large, always have people who jump in and want to run. This year is very different. And maybe it's a good thing that it's Monday night and we're on radio and we're not on TV, because I'm smiling a little bit. This year we have a slate of people running. We have one of my colleagues, she is challenging the mayor. She has someone she's pushing in Ward 7. She has someone she's pushing in Ward 6. She has someone she's pushing in Ward 4, in Ward 3, in Ward 2. And as a matter of fact, last evening, Sunday, there was this candidates forum, and I didn't attend, called Operation Power Shift. And it's all designed to take this group and shift the power to them for whatever purposes that the group might see fit if they were to control not only the city council, but there's a couple of people running for school committee. So I hope tomorrow the voters pay close attention to who's running. I hope they take a look at, for the incumbents, what have we done? How well have we earned their respect? But I'm just going to be very blunt and say public service is not about power and authority. If you think it is, then you are the wrong person for that job. It's about discretion. It's about judgment. It's about the willingness to read and research issues and then come up with a solution for a problem, or to craft a public policy or an ordinance that benefits the whole city. It's not about being a member of a power group and having authority. I have no authority unless I have five other counselors, making it 6 out of 11, vote to endorse something that I'd like to do. And I am, I will tell you, I am really concerned about this power and authority issue that has been raised in the past couple of months. And I hope that the voters reject it.
Is this and let me ask you this, and maybe I'm asking an intuitive question that listeners probably are asking at this moment as well. Do you feel as though that the national model that we've been seeing over the past several years, where there's
where there's, you know, a push to try to align, and, you know, you want to make sure if you're somebody who is in the White House, you know, the executive office, you want to make sure that Congress, you have enough people in Congress to be able to get things done. Do you feel that the national model of politics is slowly permeating into local politics?
I fear it is. I think for a lot of different reasons. But here's the thing, Kevin. You know, when we decide, do we want an anti-noise ordinance? That has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, power and authority. It's a quality of life issue. Mm. Educating kids, making sure they have the right programs and services, adding staff in the schools, guidance counselors, adjustment counselors, teachers, all of that is nonpartisan. It would be a shame if the quote-unquote national model of power and authority in politics and a dividing line in the sand literally takes over local municipal government, because what we're about is not what is occurring in Washington. We're more open and, I would hope, sensitive to everyone's needs, regardless of party, regardless of their cultural background, race, gender. It's just not what we should be doing. And I hope that, again, I hope voters reject a power and authority platform or a mentality.
What do you feel are some of the key issues that are going to be paramount heading up to November? From tomorrow's election forward, what are some of the things that the candidates are going to be trying to get the voters' attention with?
Well, for the challengers, I think they're going to try, and some of them have been very critical. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff that's posted on social media, which I think is quickly becoming anti-social media, is just so lacking in fact and truthfulness that I've begun to say that, unfortunately, in some campaigns, truth took a leave of absence, and I hope he or she comes back from that leave of absence, because the one thing we owe people is to tell them straight up what's happening, what we're doing, why we're doing it. And when you try to obfuscate or cloud it because you want to advance a campaign, that I think that's terrible. But I think the issues of economic development, there have been criticisms that we haven't done enough, but we're coming out of a pandemic. So I'm not quite sure businesses were ready to expand. I would say they were probably in survival mode. I think the issue of public safety will remain paramount, although we actually have some candidates running who were critical of the public safety complex and did not want the money spent for that purpose. I think you will also see some people talk about the need to redo, reconstruct streets, which we all agree on. I hope people continue to focus on the pandemic. But coming out of the primary tomorrow or the preliminary election, I think those who remain viable as candidates will pick and choose three or four issues, and they'll probably claim that the incumbents haven't done enough, and the incumbents will have to push back and say, look, you know, houses are selling for exorbitant prices in Brockton. People are moving here. The schools are improved. We haven't laid off a single teacher, and as a matter of fact, we've hired staff. We've maintained our public safety presence, and we're recruiting more people from diverse backgrounds. So it'll be that old give and take. I'm not satisfied with the incumbent versus the incumbent saying, this is what we've done, and we hope that you appreciate our efforts.
Yeah, if you're tuning in, we've just got a few more minutes left in our conversation with Brockton City Councilor, Council President Wynn Falwell, at this juncture of our conversation. We're talking about tomorrow's preliminary election in the city of Brockton. 7 wards, 28 precincts. Depending on how you shake it out, I believe it's a 7 a.m. The polls open. And they close at 8 p.m. If you're not sure where you vote or if you are able to vote, contact the Elections Commission at City Hall. Cindy will be able to kind of give you a heads up as to what's going on in her staff. You talked a little bit, you mentioned again about the public safety complex. Is that already in motion to be built? Or can that be, or do folks feel who are running for office that they would like to reverse course on that if they are successful?
No, we've authorized the borrowing. Bond Council has put together all of the required paperwork. We've authorized the mayor and the collector treasurer to do what they need to do. So I think that issue is well settled. However, as you approach each new budget season, depending upon who sits on the city council, there could be a move to reduce the police budget and place some of the funding into other areas. And so that is not something that I would favor. I think if anything, we should continue to rebuild the police department, slowly add a few more staff members as we can, keep up with the retirements, because you're always losing people, Kevin, and I think people forget that. We always have people who retire during the year. It's so important to fill those positions, and if you can add two or three more, then you can get into the specialized units that are important, like traffic, or frankly, I'd love to see a firearms unit where we would trace where are the guns coming from in the city, who's selling them, cooperate with the ATF, start doing some research. From what state are these guns coming if they're confiscated? Because there are too many firearms in Brockton. We haven't touched really upon that, but it is a major issue for me.
What other major issues that we haven't? We got just a couple of minutes left here. We've talked economic development. We've talked about the fire safety campus, the public safety campus. We've talked about, you know, how politics have really taken an extreme turn in the city of Brockton. What else? Anything else that we haven't touched upon, or that you want to at least take a moment to expand upon?
Yes, I think, again, focusing on the public safety complex is important. However, at some point, and I know there's been an application for state funding, we're going to have to do some new construction, I think, at the high school, whether it's a new academic house. And Brockton's usually eligible for about 80% reimbursement from the state. 20% would be paid by the community. So in round figures, if we did a $300 million addition to the high school, new academic house, you know, one-fifth of that would be our share. But that is very, very important. Continuing to improve the facilities for our students, for our staff, enhancing the learning environment. When all is said and done, the education of young people in a community, to me, is absolute number one priority. They're the future. They're going to occupy my position when I'm not here. And I can't say enough about the need to always remember that Brockton has been known for significant educational programs and success.
You're not new to politics. You have a couple of decades under your belt, if not more. How do you feel that politics have changed since you first held office in the early 90s?
I think social media sucks, and I think it's contributing to misinformation. I think it's being used as a weapon by people, and I think that's inexcusable. I am a big free speech person, but number one, know what you're talking about. Number two, tell the truth. And if that's too... If that's too powerful a statement and it makes people uncomfortable, I'm not going to apologize for it. I try to use social media to inform people. I will use it to correct misinformation. I can't spend my whole life doing that. But that is one area of politics where I think it is absolutely despicable what is put up. And unfortunately, some people believe it. Mm. That is the astounding thing to me, is that people say, oh, if I saw it on Facebook, it's got to be true. I would seriously reorient your priorities if that's true. Number two in politics, and this is so important. I can have a vehement disagreement with one of my colleagues over an issue, but you can never forget that your strongest adversary on one issue could be your biggest supporter on the next one. So never burn your bridges. Don't polarize public policy and issues. Keep an open mind. Fight for what you think is important. Uphold your position with facts and evidence and debate. But when it's all done and over, you move on from that issue, because the person that you just disagreed with could be the one who is standing shoulder to shoulder with you on the next issue that comes up.
Always a true diplomat. I love it. We're going to wrap up here, but final words to the voters of Brockton, if you would.
It's expensive to run an election, and it's important to get out there and voice your preference for for candidates. The only thing I would ask is if you believe that I've done a good job and you subscribe to the agenda that I've put out in some of my campaign material, I would ask for your support. If you don't, I respect the voters. It's democracy. But learn about the candidates. Don't vote for someone just because of a name. Don't vote for someone because they're in a pressure group. Do what you think is right for your family and the future of the city.
He is Wynn Falwell, Council President, at-large counselor in the city of Brockton. He has been our guest. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Wynn, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. My pleasure always.
And I want to thank you all for joining me here. Let's all agree to reconvene next week at 6:15 p.m. for yet another Monday Night Talk Show. Have a good evening.
FM Marshfield, WBMS.